Oh, how he loves us, right? No matter what we're going through, and it can be really tough sometimes, but his love sustains us. Wow. Well, today we're continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 7 through 18. Again, a section of scripture I've never preached before. I thought, okay, God, what do you want me to say this week? And he has certainly shown me throughout the week some things about this, because we're going to talk about going deeper. When I lived in Scottsdale, it was interesting living there, I must say. I was serving at church in Ahwatukee and driving back and forth, and it was interesting when I did live in Scottsdale, and this certainly is not everybody, but every time it seemed like I'd go to a stop sign or a stoplight, people would be checking out my car, or we go to, what is it, Paradise Fashion Square Mall, and my job as the stepdad was to take the kids out of the house, the girls, and go shopping with them at Fashion Square Mall. Oh, yeah, especially for me. I want to bag it. I want to bag my whatever I'm in the store for and get in and get out. No window shopping, right? Oh, man. But anyway, it was interesting, the life lessons I learned in Scottsdale, to say the least. Not, and this is on, I just realized on the internet, so the Chamber of Commerce will be contacting me. And there are some wonderful people in Scottsdale, there really are. But and everywhere there are people who live with a superficial mindset, right? It's how you look and how you act and how you talk and so forth, and not what's inside that counts, which is really what counts. So we'll get to that. But anyway, Paul is continuing his defense of the gospel, excuse me, his ministry, because he had some people who remember after he left saying, oh, don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You need a real charismatic, personable TV evangelist type to be your minister. You don't want this old-looking guy here, what he has to say, the old religion, and what is he talking about? So Paul is affirming his ministry and his call, basically. Have you ever had somebody sort of come up to you and challenge your authority, if you're at work or something, or as a parent? Say, well, who are you to do this? Who are you to be my boss? Maybe your kids have said that, or whatever the case may be, right? Oh, give them some nods there. I'm getting a lot of nods on this one. Whoa. Well, or at work sometimes. Well, who do you think you are? That can be a challenge, right? When people are questioning. Well, Paul is getting that all the time. Jesus got it too. So if you get it, you're in good company, right? Just think of that, all right? Well, who do you think you are? Well, tell them who you are. We are a child of God, and he's given us different spheres of authority and influence we're going to talk about. There's a lot really actually in here as we go deeper. But Paul is saying, he says, look at what is before your eyes. In other words, he says, open up your eyes and see what's going around you, right? If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so are we. For even if we boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not destroying you, I'll not be ashamed. He's not bragging about his ministry, how good he is. He's saying, I have a legitimate call from God. I saw Jesus rise from the dead, risen from the dead, and he came down and knocked me off my horse, and I was blind, and everything's changed for me. I really saw him with my own eyes, and I have a call. He called me to this. I didn't make this up. I didn't say, oh, I think I'm going to be a preacher like some of them did. So he's affirming his authority. He says, even I boast, it's to build people up. There's two kinds of authority, right? The kind of authority that tears people down, that's negative, you can't do anything right. Maybe you've had a parent like that, or a boss like that, or someone in your life, or in church like that. Well, in the other church, we did it this way. We don't, thank God, we don't have that here. But some churches, the pastor will hear, well, in my old church, we did this, or we did that. Well, this isn't your old church. Yeah, right? This is different here. Boy, are we different, right? But he says, I don't want to appear to be frightening you in my letters, for they say, oh, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter, absolutely we do in the press. In other words, here I am, you know, here we are. So I want to look at this and realize that what Paul says, he means, and what he writes, he also does. So he says, we're not going too far in our boasting as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither did we go around beyond our limits. by boasting work done by others. So what he's saying here is this. I have a call, and this is where it is. And you are my affirmation, my reference. All the members of the church are his references, right? So he's preaching the truth. And you affirm whether we're preaching the truth or not here. If it's the Bible, if it's what God wants, if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's according to the Holy Scripture, right? Amen? And don't let us preach anything besides that. That's our calling. And we are held to that very definitely. So he's saying, I'm not going to compare myself. He says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Another thing is when we compare with other people, going to Scottsdale in the mall, comparing other people on the outside. But whether it be outside or inside, are we supposed to compare ourselves to other people? It's not good either way. Either we elevate ourselves, or we lower ourselves and our self-esteem that, well, I'll never be like that person. Well, yeah, you won't, because you're you and that person's them. You'll never be them. So don't try that. But that Satan does that. He compares people, well, tries to get, oh, look at that person. One of my clients is a weight trainer, and she's in great shape. And some people on the team don't have time to train all the time, and they were comparing themselves to this trainer who does that for a living. So, well, I wish I could look like her. Well, that's all she does all day long, right? Or the Olympians that are in a swimming pool. Well, I wish I could look like that. Well, if that's all you did all your life, for sure. Look, we'd all look great, right? But we have other things we're doing in life besides looking good, you know, and what? Right, exactly. It is what it is, as they say, right? So we shouldn't compare ourselves to other people at all. And then if we do that, who are we supposed to compare ourselves to? Jesus. He's the highest standard, his holiness. Not, well, at least I'm better than that person. It's funny, in jail, sometimes the guys will do that. They say, wait a minute, you're all in jail here. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm better than him. Yeah, but you still got the stripes on. You're still in the same place. You still got caught. Oh, I'm... What, you don't understand, Pastor. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. But minimize. Everybody, we all minimize our sins, right? Well, at least I didn't do that. Does God say, well, oh, yes, you're right, Colin. Okay, go ahead. You're free. And, okay, I understand. Right. God is just and God is fair. So his standard's a lot higher than someone else's here. So he says, now we're not going to compare ourselves to other people. We're not going to go there. We're going to go deeper. If we go deeper, it's God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit. It's what God's really saying in the Word. And looking at this Word and digging into it, meditating on it, saying, this is what God said. This text at first, I go, what am I going to preach on here? Well, there's a lot, it turns out, here. Don't compare ourselves is the first point. Don't do that. Do not compare yourself. So we don't want to do that. And also, he says, we will not boast beyond our proper limits, but we'll confine our boasting to the Lord, to the field God has assigned us. That's another thing. Well, I wish I had a bigger church. Pastors will sometimes compare notes in a typical church convention. How big is your church? How is your budget? How many people do you have worshiping? How many people this? And how much is in your... We don't care, right? It's the presence of God. So when they ask Rick and I, I don't know how many we had last Sunday. I don't know. Doesn't care. Yeah, we stop counting. You what? Well, what are you going to do about your church reports? Well, God's there. He kind of knows. We don't have to report to him what our statistics are and send him a yearly report, right? he knows pretty well what's going on, right? He's up to date. He doesn't need an update from us, right? So we are called to do what we're called to do in the area. There's a field. There's an assignment we all have. I told the guys in jail, guess what? Your assignment's here. And some are going to another prison, and they love the fellowship we have so much in our jail, which sounds weird, but we really have an awesome thing going on, and you can feel God's love and presence on the whole floor. The rest of the floors, it's chaos. Our floor, it's amazing. And they're going to a prison. They're going, uh-oh, they're scared if they're going to find there what we have on our floor. And we said, well, guess what? You're called to start it there. If it's not there, you're going to go be missionary at that prison, and you're going to start something that's not there anymore. So we all have a purpose in life, right? We're all sent to certain places, certain geographic areas, to certain people, huh? Certain times, yes. Thank you. The spiritual gifts, the times, the talents, not just the pastors, not just, well, that person's talented. Well, so are you. We all have talents. We all have gifts, so start using them, right? if the whole church, everybody would consider themselves to be a minister, to go out and do the ministry in the right sense of the word. I'm being like, okay, Pastor Perry, guess what? I'm preaching today. Here, move over. I don't mean that, but you have a call. Just as much as I feel that calling, and sometimes that calling is so overwhelming, isn't it? When we feel called by God, it changes our whole future, basically. Everything. Yeah, how do you... I did this in jail, too. Everybody had some things. They asked the preacher, Pastor, you should add this to your sermon here. So I got some of their notes here as well. But we are all called a certain area. It could be Mexico. And we're going to talk about that, how God expands. So we just do what we're supposed to do where we're at. I would love to be close to the ocean. I mean, God, that sounds good to me. Oh, not really. It's not, can't like I get going to the car this afternoon and go there and then come back. But, what? Big Nah, it doesn't count. The concrete and the hors d'oeuvre. Yeah, okay, I can go. I'm not going to go there. But anyway, we're all called. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be content, even when it's 115 degrees in the desert in the summer, right? God has called us here. Yes, at this time. But we are. There's a reason for where we're at. If I look back on my life, say, "Oh, that's why that happened. I'm here for a reason." But then Satan says, "You are a worthless piece of. You know what? What are you doing with your life? You're not impacting anybody. You might as well not even bother." He does that. He condemns and accuses all of us. He says, "You can't even do this. You can't even do that." And he looks at our weaknesses, right? And says, or if he's trying to get us inflated, he looks at our strengths. Oh, well, you're hot stuff there. I think you're better than these other people. You don't need the grace. You don't need the cross. So he'll play one way or the other according to his advantage, not ours, right? So we are called to be what we're called to be until God says, guess what? Moving day. You're moving. What? I hate moving. It seems like I always move in the summer, which is no fun to move. And I saw some guys moving at our apartment down the way a little bit, and they looked miserable in this heat and humidity on top of it. And then the other day it was raining, so either in the pouring rain or in the heat, they're moving. No fun. But like God told Abraham, he says, start moving. He says, where? I said, I'll tell you when to stop. Abraham's wife didn't like that. She was very practical, analytical, said, I need to know where. No, you don't need to know. God knows that's enough, right? So we go, the point is we go where God leads us, right? To our area, we don't compare ourselves to other people, and we don't say, well, what about you over there? What's your job? Don't worry about what their job is. Worry about what your job is, not theirs. Don't worry about theirs, yours. Okay, so let's move on. Let's see here. A field, God has assigned to you a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Get this. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. So there's two things there, hopes that Paul has. Our faith growing and the activity growing and expanding. First of all, we can't give what we don't have. We have to go deeper in our faith to have something of substance to give to somebody else, right? You've got to be in God's Word, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of others, so you have something to give. What happens if we dry up, the well dries up? I've been there where the well is dry as a preacher. It's not fun to preach or teach when the well is dry. So we have to make sure we're keeping the well pumped, and we've got to walk the walk. We've got to be in the Word and refresh ourselves and grow in our own faith, or else it's pretty stagnant stuff. But we're all called to do that. We all are called to grow in our faith. And I remember the days when we'd have rally days for Sunday school. About this time of year, usually after Labor Day, we would talk about Sunday school and getting more and more kids in Sunday school and how important it is that they start to learn God's Word. I'm appalled sometimes the younger generation how little they talk to their kids about God. We don't want our faith to be extinct. We want to grow to the next generation, to expand our area activity, but we've got to grow deeper. We've got to keep going deeper. So how deep are you going in God? Is it superficial? I remember I didn't learn to swim until like 13, so I would just kind of dab in the pool because I had a nasty lifeguard instructor that let me go down, and I didn't like that at all. And I held it against him for a long time, but I've forgiven him. But anyway, I would not, until I was learning how to swim, that I loved it, but I would just kind of I just go so deep. I want to make sure I can touch bottom. And that wasn't fun then. I didn't like it. Everybody else having a great time. Well, some people are just barely getting into God's Word. Just a little bit, a little bit. Go all the way in, like the nasty plunge. You know, just plunge yourself in God, and you'll see and you'll feel the difference, right? So that your faith grows, and then your area activity grows. That's called the Prayer of Jabez in Chronicles, where it talks about that he prayed, Lord, I pray that you expand my territory. And we want God to expand our influence in our territory because we're called to reach out to more and more people and more situations. So no matter where we go, we want to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we want to grow, not judge other people, and we want God to use us. So we just say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Where am I going today? Now, I want to show you something. This is from Michael Gardner. This is what he drew. Now, there have been months ago, there's no way he'd have a mind to be able to do this kind of thing, right, Kathy? Look at that, John 3:16, Cardinals, like that. So there, Rick. We got it in, no complaints. Look at this, the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I need to show. That is, I love that. That is so awesome, right? Sorry, yes, thank you for the rest of the story. Yeah, but it's so awesome. It's just amazing. The Lord's Prayer and the crown and the nails. That's so awesome. And he had to figure out a way to protect us, so he took a cereal box and he folded it in such a way. Look at that. Oh, my goodness sakes. Very cool. So that's how his area activity has expanded, right? You think about how some of our people at the jails, they'll leave the jail, they'll go to Mexico and start a house church. And they'll go, I think it was Thailand or Indonesia, was going to start a house church out there. So where are you now, and where do you think God will lead you in the future to expand more and more, and so our faith grows and that we expand the gospel in different regions? So we talk about Mexico. So even here at Amazing Grace, we have churches helping us, right? And then we have other churches. It's so much fun how Pastor Rick has this whole thing going through the Holy Spirit. We receive and then we hand off, and it keeps on going. Well, God continues. And so as our faith grows and as we expand, who gets the glory? And we don't commend ourselves. Well, we're pretty good here at Amazing Grace compared to these other churches. You know, we aren't doing that, right? We're doing this. And one of the Olympians, Simone, the swimmer, who won the first night. Did you hear her say, all glory to God? Yes, Simone Manuel. She said, all glory to God. And others did too. One guy, male diver, talked about Christ. Wow, they were strong, those two divers, talking about their faith. Boldly and lovingly, first thing they said, not, you know, thank you for letting me win, it was giving glory to God. And that's what they said in the jail, as we talked about this. Pastor, make sure you talk about the Holy Spirit, and all the glory goes to God. And it does. He gets the glory. We shine because it's His light inside us that shines brightly, right? And it's so awesome. And if we feel like our light's kind of going out, well, get together with Daryl or somebody, Sarah or Robert. Get together with another Christian and say, hey, I need to have some time in the Word with somebody. I need a fellowship, or I can't do this on my own. I need help. I've fallen and I can't get up. So we go reach out to God, reach out to another person. We pull each other up, and that's what's so awesome about this family of believers here. We can pull each other up. We can pray for Susie, and she prays for us, and on it goes, that circle. But the serpent wants to get in there and stop that circle, cycle of love and ministry and kingdom work. He wants to put the brakes on. It's like a train going 100 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the engineer puts the brakes on. And Satan wants to always put the brakes on and stop the progress. So in closing, I have no idea how long I preached or how much longer I'm supposed to. I don't know. But I want to do something here that Pastor Rick had a good idea. I wrote a letter for the pastor's report for the council meeting, which is a Thursday. I don't know if you know this, but September 28th is See You at the Flagpole Day. And what it is that Christians all over the country, and maybe all the world, are going to meet at their schools at a preset time. They're going to gather around the flagpole at their school, and they're going to pray for their school. for their teachers and for the parents and for safety in the schools with all that's been going on the last few years. And it's been going on for a few years. I haven't heard a lot about it, but it's going on this year. And not just for that day, but as we think about school getting started, this past week was one of the busiest weeks of my whole year. The first 2 weeks before the end of school, the last 2 weeks before the end of school and the first 2 weeks of the new school year and around Christmas time are my three busiest times unless other things start to happen. Right, Kathy? You're nodding. Yes, indeed. And it's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on the teachers, administrators, the parents. Parents are crying, letting their... I had a high school freshman going to school, and the mom from Iraq, and she's confused about the language, and she was terrified letting her son go into this big high school, Apollo High School. And we all, the teachers and the staff, and I had to calm her down. We had to do more work with her than with the kiddo. The kid was fine. But it's a stressful time, and single parents especially, trying to do all this and supplies and the finances. And with kids who have special needs, it's terrifying going to school again and starting new routines or going to a different school. It's just, it can be an awful time for them. So we're going to pray. Pastor Rick had this great idea that we should bring up all the parents, all the kids, all the people involved with school or have been involved with school to come up, and we're going to pray for you, but not just for you, but for those who can't be here. We're going to believe with what we sang about the Victor's Crown that God will give a blessing to our kids and to our parents, even those not here. That we just sang, who wears the Victor's Crown? I mean, he gives us the victory, right? I wanted to read that real quick because it was so awesome when we sang that. You're always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness and your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. You are ever interceding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You are the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. At the cross the work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you. For you wear the victor's crown. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Amen. So we want that victory. We want that presence of God to go into our schools. And one thing before we do that, there's a group called Bridge Builders where they have people doing prayer walks around the schools, not during school, the nighttime or weekends or whatever. And then they'll go in and do service jobs for the school. They won't mention Jesus. They'll just lovingly take care of the kids or the teachers, maybe build something for the faculty lounge, or buy something for them, just show that we care. So eventually they go, well, why are you doing this? They say, well, because God loves us and we love you and we're praying for you. They'll pray for the staff once they can build relationships, and some of the staff have been healed of things. And some of the kids have had miracles happen to them through this connection with a school and a church. So we want to pray for our schools. We want to pray for them. So if you are involved, if you go to school or you're a parent, or you're involved as a teacher administrator or a former administrator, come on up and we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you and pray for the others who aren't here today. Amen. We know as parents it can be overwhelming. All the things that you have to do for kids and especially single parents and being difficult. Grandparents raising grandkids can be a real challenge where you just think, I didn't sign up for this. The second round, second lap to go through it. So we never know where God's going to lead us and guide us. So whereas we wait for the kids, we're going to first of all pray for your parents and grandparents. Lord Jesus, I ask for an extra measure of your Holy Spirit right now to fall upon all the caregivers, the parents, and the grandparents. Come, Holy Spirit. Give them an extra strength, a supernatural strength and power, Lord. The crazy times in the morning trying to get everybody up and going to school and coming home and trying to get them to do homework, and then all the activities and all the supplies they have to buy and all the things they have to deal with and everything going on, Lord. I just ask that you bless our parents and grandparents in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. May they feel your strength and energy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them. And for those that aren't here, we ask for an extra dose of your Holy Spirit power, Lord, and strength. Like the wings of an eagle, you would lift them up. And especially, Lord, I pray for single grandparents and single parents that have to do it all by themselves, but they aren't alone, Lord. You promised to be the father to the fatherless, Lord, and be an extra help, Lord. So we pray that you would step in right now, that single parents would feel extra strength, extra power, new wings being renewed like the wing of an eagle, Lord, that they would walk and not go weary, walk and not be faint, Lord. Be with them in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who have been involved in the schools in the past or still are today, Lord, we ask that you would be with all the administrators and teachers in Jesus' name, and that where we go with the schools, as you think about the school you go to, we pray for that principal, assistant principal, office staff, all the teachers, Lord. Thank you for what they do. Help them not become discouraged, Lord. Give them extra strength and inspiration to inspire, because they never know who they can inspire to lead the dream to be an Olympian or to be a something that you want them to be. Then we'll use the words of a teacher to change their whole direction of their life from negative of abandonment and abuse to a positive, purpose-filled life. So be with those teachers. Be with those administrators, Lord. Be with the board. We ask for protection over the school property in the name of Jesus, Lord. Send your holy angels to guard and protect us. There'll be no terrorism, no violence, Lord, and no bullying. Lord, for those that have been bullied in the schools, we ask for your protection, Lord. Send your angels to go with them, Lord, and help the bullies to know that that's not the way to feel better about themselves. We ask for healing for them as well. And for the children, Lord, who are going to school, this who have been going, we ask for your blessing now. Lord Jesus, you love your lambs, your precious lambs. You say, feed my lambs. So, Lord, first of all, we ask that you be with all those in Children's Church involved with the activities here on Wednesday and on Sundays, Lord, that you would bless our teachers and our leaders of the young ones. Help them know that they are valued and how important it is. But for these children, Lord, I ask that you, they would, any fears they have, anxieties, worries about this new school year, Lord, we cast them away in Jesus' name, those fears, in Jesus' name. Cast them aside. Be with them, Lord. Bless them mightily, Lord, with your strength and your power, Lord. Bless these kids, Lord. Be with them. May everyone here now feel your presence. And for those not here, Lord, in their loneliness and maybe even going shopping, getting things for school they need or whatever's going on, be with them, Lord. But they couldn't be here to be part of the fellowship. Send people out. Give them sometimes we feel all alone, Lord, as a kid or as a parent, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would hold the hand of every child, that you lead them in and bring them back out safely. The 23rd Psalm, Lord, you be their good shepherd, that you be their leader and their guider, guide and the light, Lord. Shine your light in the dark places of the schools, Lord. And we ask that kick Satan out of the schools and bring you, God, back into the schools.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. And God bless you, parents, grandparents, kids. God bless you.